Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Thanks, everybody. Hey, man, so good to see you. Why don't you reach out to God, everybody? Can you lift your hands? Let's look to Jesus. He's alive. You know that? He's alive. Jesus, you're alive. You have all authority, Jesus. There's nothing out of your purview. There's nothing out of your reign. Lord Jesus, we came here to look to you today, Lord. Mind, body, soul. I want to remind you, everybody, you are an integrated being. Mind, body, soul. Let all of you praise the Lord. God, we're going to let our mind praise you, our soul praise you, and our body praise you. Don't disintegrate. Don't divide all of our being here today, Lord. Living sacrifices. And we're looking to you. If you've never known of God, you are so welcome today. He knows you. And we are looking not to a dead religion, not to a bunch of formulas. We are looking to a living, breathing God. God Himself, three in one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The creator of the universe. The one who breathed our very being into existence. You are not devoid of meaning and purpose because you are made on purpose by God. So, Father, we are praying today. Heavenly Father, fill every life with identity. Lord, that the presiding highest identity over our lives is that in Christ Jesus, we are children of God. Lord, anybody feeling like lower than, feeling like you got to come to God like a beggar, feeling shame, feeling guilt, we thank you in Jesus Christ, we are made right. We are made children. We come boldly before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our provider. You clothe the lilies of the field. You look after the sparrows. How much more will you look after your children? And I just thank you today, God, that your love fills every life. The love of God fills every soul. Thank you, Lord, your love, it pushes out fear. It casts out fear. It casts out worry. It casts out concern so that faith can grow. Thank you, Lord, that faith is growing on the inside of every person here today. You are reviving faith. Faith in God. Like Mark said, have faith in God. So thank you for what you're doing here today, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. Thank you for Lauren and her family. Thank you for what you're doing in their children. God, we praise you. Lord, that's why we're here. Come on, everybody. It's for that story that we serve and we sow and we put God first. It's not just for us, it's for others. And we're just so grateful, God, for what you're doing in that beautiful family's life. We pray you use them. We pray, God, you bless them. Father, we pray for their neighborhood, Lord Jesus, that their whole neighborhood, Lord, as their roots go deep in God, as they're planted, Father, we just thank you that it spreads into their neighbors, into their family friends, Lord, that their children bring their friend, and that their friends bring their parents, Lord God, that we just continue to see people reached and encounter the very presence of God that we are drawing near to right now. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your presence. God is love. Thank you for what you're doing. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak. Guide us. Set us free. Renew our minds. Let the word renew our mind today. Lord, we love your word. Like the deer pants for water, so our soul, Lord, thirsts for God. Lord, let your word divide today. Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Thank you, your word cuts down lies today. Thank you, your word sets the captive free today. Thank you that your word cuts off strings that are attached, chains that are holding people today. Your word brings freedom. So Holy Spirit, breathe on your word. Breathe on the word today. Let it come alive on the inside of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, can you come on, give him all the praise today? Come on, everybody, give him all the praise. Mind, body, soul. Come on, let your voice cry out, let your heart cry out, let your mind cry out to God. Come on, keep giving him all the praise. Come on, church, lift your voice. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout with a voice of triumph today. Come on, shout with a voice of triumph today. You're going to shout at the origin? Let's shout about Jesus today. Come on, come on, there's more in us. Come on, church. Come on, abandon, shake off the dust today. Come on, give Jesus all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We worship you, Jesus. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Well, amen, amen. Why don't you hug someone if it's appropriate, or high five, whatever works. Say hello. Grab your seat, amen. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, worship team. You are marvelous. See you very soon. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weather. Who's enjoying the weather? Yeah, yeah, bit of sun. Thank God for that. And we love the sun. And can we give it up for our location pastors here, Dan and Kaylee Karatz? Come on, Pastor Dan and Kaylee. We just think you're amazing. And I'm just so excited. Church, you know, I just got to remind you, you know that the best days of our church are not in the past. Come on, everybody. Thank God for the past. Thank God for Pastor Phil, Pastor Chris, thank you for our heritage. But you know this, right? The best days of our church are in the future, and God is on the move. And so are we. And we're talking about courageous prayer. Courageous prayer. And we are launching prayer and fasting as of tomorrow. Who's excited? Wow, you guys are so spiritual. Okay, so here's the thing. So mine's going to start at 10 a.m. tomorrow after the Euros final. Don't judge me. You talk to God and work out your thing. That's what I'm doing. So
I'm going to be fasting digital. And so here's the thing about fasting, because, you know, when it comes to fasting, sometimes the idea can feel like we fast to get more of God. Like fasting is about getting more of God. And I just want to clarify, it's actually not so much about trying to get more of God. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he did it incomplete. When he sent the Holy Spirit, he didn't send a bit of the Spirit. He didn't send a little bit of the Holy Spirit, so you had to get more. He sent all of the Holy Spirit. God is fully with us, everybody. You don't have to trick him. You don't need to try and convince him. He has given all of himself. So prayer and fasting is not so much about trying to get more of God. It's actually about giving God more of us. And so when I fast, I'm saying no to something. I'm denying myself so that I can fill that space with attention on God. So prayer and fasting, everybody, it's not so much about just what you're not going to do. It's actually about what you are going to do. It's actually about how you're going to give God more of your attention. And I promise you, money back guarantee right now. Not that that's happening, but I promise you, if you give God more of yourself, like when you would normally check social media, you pray. When you would normally watch a movie, you read the Word and you seek God. I promise you, if you replace some of that time that you spent on whatever, eating, whatever it is, and you fill it with God, the spiritual temperature of your life is going to turn all the way up. And you're going to become more and more aware of God, more aware of God. And 21 days is beautiful because it's a habit breaker. It's a habit starter. It breaks a cycle in your life. And so I want to encourage you, let's do this together. Amen? We're in this together? Help each other, cheer each other on. If you're doing a food fast and someone else, if you're not doing a food fast, don't eat in front of that person doing a food fast. Okay, so we're in the book of Daniel. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to 23. Do you have your Bible today? If you got your Bible, turn there. We've got a big one on the screen. Get out your digital device. All phones are welcome. And let's go. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy. Can everyone say mercy? Seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." And we need to understand about the ancient Near East times, which is where Babylon is based. Dreams were believed to have importance for revealing the work of the gods in the third millennium BC. They were considered to be communication brought from the gods by a spirit messenger. And dreams often caused concern because the dreams were often related to something that was not good news. So when a king got a dream, it was generally that there was not good news. And to interpret the dream, this king, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, he had a whole group of wise men who he required them to interpret the dream. And if they couldn't interpret it, he would get rid of them. And by get rid of them, I mean kill them. Yes, and they're gone, you're done. And so Daniel is one of the wise men, but he is a man that doesn't pray to gods. He prays to the God. And he comes before his friends and he says, "Hey guys, we need to pray because we need to understand this dream so we can interpret it for the king." Now, it's very interesting because in this context, it's easy to pray when you're in Jerusalem. And by that I mean these boys are from Jerusalem. They are Jewish boys. They are from the city of God. And they are now in Babylon, which is not the city of God. It is one thing to pray in church. It is another thing to have to pray in a culture that is counter the kingdom. How you doing? So they are having to learn courageous prayer in the face of pushback. If you've ever been in a situation where you need an answer, have you ever been there? Come on, talk to me today, church. You ever been there? You've been in a place where you need answers, where things are not going how you thought? Yeah. You ever been where the culture of the world is just pressuring you, pushing you into a corner? You're feeling stuck? Well, when that happens, the spirit of the world says panic, fight, live in fear, never trust again, strive, gossip, run away, give in, go with the flow, whatever. But as followers of Jesus, when we need answers, when things are not going how we thought, when, not if, when the culture is pushing on us, what do followers of Jesus do? We pray. I want to remind you today, everybody, that the mandate, the call for all of us who put our faith in Jesus, when you don't know what to do, when you need answers, when there's pressure, we pray. And prayer, here's the thing, prayer is not designed to be our last resort, it's designed to be our first response. And I wonder how many times are we praying at the end of something when we should have, could have been praying at the beginning of it. It's like asking God to fix something that we could have actually asked God for guidance at the beginning. And listen to me, God is great at rescuing. He will rescue you, but there is a better way. There is a way where you can have the wisdom of God before you make a decision rather than asking for God's help at the end of a bad decision. How's everyone doing today? You doing all right? It's like this. It's like getting out the GPS in your car when you're lost rather than getting it out before you left. And that's never been a problem for me, but it's like asking God when you're lost rather than asking God before you decide. Prayer, church, is our first response, not our last resort. Prayer is designed to be before you make the decision. But before entering into that relationship, come on, everybody, before. Don't pray after, pray before. Before taking that job. Before buying that house, before selling that house, before choosing that school, before that difficult conversation, before you send that email. Come on, everybody. Hey, before you run away, before you fight, before you try and do something about something, pray. Pray. This is the call on us as the Church of Jesus Christ. God is not a backup plan. God is our guide. God is our shepherd. Amen. Come on, church. Because God's guidance is always better than rescue. Rescue, God will rescue you, but His guidance will set your life up on a trajectory where you're no longer having to be constantly saved out of a pit, but you can be growing and walking on a straight path with God. For parents, I'm all the parents. Can we give it up for all the parents here today? Young parents, older parents, every age group. Parents, we need to do this together. I need your help. We need to do this together. We need to ask God before we make decisions, before we respond to the pressures of this world. When you're trying to work out what's best for your child because it is difficult, pray first. Pray first. When you're choosing, I mean, like when I choose Oakland's friends for him, because he won't be choosing them, I will be choosing them. I'm gonna pray first. Yeah. When you have to make a decision, pray first. James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, anybody lack wisdom today? If you don't think you lack wisdom, that's a different problem. That's a totally different problem. That's a pride problem. And, you know, we can preach about that next week. But if you lack wisdom, join the club. If you lack wisdom, what does it say? Let him ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives stingily, gives a little bit, gives you just what you need. No, gives you generously to all without reproach. And are we given to him? But let him ask in faith. Listen. When you ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For they are a double-minded person, man, unstable in all his ways. God is generous, everybody. How do you view God? Do you view God like he's stingy? Like he's just disappointed in you? God loves you. I love the way Oakland asks me for things. So much so I have to remind him who's boss. Because he just comes and says, I want this. And I say, please. Yeah. But I love it. You know what? I actually love it. I love that he just comes and asks. Doesn't beat around the bush. You know, God knows what you need. Ask. Come boldly to your Heavenly Father and ask. Talk to him. Ask for wisdom. He will give you wisdom. Double-mindedness is indecision. If you need wisdom, just confidently ask God, and he wants to give you the wisdom of God. So there's three things I want you to see about Daniel and the boys. Three things I want us to learn about prayer today. The first one we can see is petition. Petition. Daniel and the fellas, they petitioned God. Look what it says, verse 18. He urged them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He urged them to seek mercy. This is very important. He didn't urge them to plead for answers, he urged them to plead for mercy. And this is important because they weren't just asking God for an answer, they were praying to God based on his character. They were crying out to the nature of God, not just the answers they needed. And this is very important because some of us are praying to a God that is untethered to who he really is. Sometimes we are praying prayers to a God who's not really defined by how we think he's defined. And sometimes we might think we're praying to God, but we actually need to pray to the real God. And the real God you can find in Scripture. When you read Scripture, you start to see who God is. You start to see what he is about. When you read the Gospels and you read about Jesus, you begin to see what Jesus is like, what God is like, how he responded to people in need, how he responded to the Pharisees, how he responded and taught the disciples. You see what he prioritized. You can see what made him angry, and you can see what made him sad, what made him rejoice, what impressed him even, how he spoke to the crowds, how he spoke to individuals. You learn his character and his nature from the word, everybody. And that's why you've got to be in that scripture, because it's going to help you understand who he is, so that when you pray, you are praying to the real God. God is not a genie in a bottle. Every wish of yours is not his command. He is a person. He is distinct, and he has distinct characteristics. And I promise you, when you get the scripture and you let it shape your heart and soul and perception of who God is, you're going to find your prayers aligning to his character. So Daniel and the boys knew that he is a God of mercy. So they prayed to God for mercy. Other translations use the word plead. And the word plead generally carries a connotation that I'm trying to convince someone to do something that they're unwilling to do. Pleading. It's like begging. But the Hebrew definition of this word plead is not that. It is actually to ask, desire, request, or seek. It is not this approach of trying to twist God's arm. Everybody, God is not unwilling. How are you doing today? Are you praying to an unwilling God in your mind? God is not unwilling. And God does not need convincing. But also, God cannot be manipulated. You can't manipulate God into doing something. You can't blackmail God. Well, if you don't, I won't. If you don't do this, well, I'm going to stop. You can't blackmail God. This is not what prayer is. Prayer is not trying to trick God, convince him. Prayer is coming boldly to a God who is willing. And when I pray, my petition is according to his character. So I love this from a guy called Tyler Staton. He wrote a book called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. I love it. He says this: the assumption of biblical prayer is that God's action always precedes my request. The aim is not to get God in on what I think he should be doing. Rather, the aim of prayer is to get us in on what God is doing, become aware of it, join it, and enjoy the fruit of participation. When we petition God, we are actually not trying to get God to do what we want. We are actually becoming aware of God's will. We are aligning. God, what are you doing? Help me see and help me participate in your will here. Read Psalm 18, 18 to 30. David said this: this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. David is writing this as he has just been escaping from Saul. Saul's been trying to kill him. And David comes before God and seeks his will in the situation. Do you know there was a time where Saul was just out in the fields? David was hiding in a cave. Do you know this story? If you don't, it's all good. I'm telling you right now. David was there and he was with all his mighty men. They were in a cave and Saul was just out in the field. Saul was just there, a sitting duck, you might say. And David could have easily thought, wow, praise God. He has brought my enemy to me for me to slay him. He could have easily thought that was God's intention, but it wasn't. David sought the Lord and he sought God's will. And so he had the wisdom of God and the guidance of God on what to do in that situation. So what did he do? He just went and cut a little bit of his tunic and said, hey, Saul, could have killed you, but I didn't. When you align to God's will, it'll shape how you respond, how you talk to that person that right now is a bit wayward and that person that you're bleeding for, your heart's breaking for them. That situation where you're under pressure, you're under attack. There's people saying things that are not true about you. You got a work crisis, a family crisis. It's not about praying to God, do this. It's saying, God, what are you doing? Help me see. Guide me in what I should do. This is what petition is about. How you doing, church? This is what petition is about. It's about alignment. The second thing we see is that Daniel praises God. Praise and petition. We see this, then Daniel blessed God of heaven and praised him, and we just read it before. Beautiful picture of Daniel praising and thanking God. We read in Philippians, Paul writes to the Philippian church in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything. Isn't that bold? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What? Even that thing? Yeah. Don't be anxious about anything. Everyone just let that marinate for just a second. Nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Nothing. Nothing. But, so you replace worry with prayer. But, instead, you've got two options. You can sit in worry or you can stand up and pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise towards God throughout Scripture typically has three things in it. Number one, remembrance of who God is. Number two, remembrance of what God has done. And number three, thankfulness for what He is doing. Yeah. Countless Psalms follow this pattern. Psalm 9, Psalm 33, Psalm 103, Psalm 145. Yay. Praise reorientates us to an elevated position from which we now have a renewed perspective to pray. Don't pray from underneath the situation. This is what I'm trying to say, everybody. We are not designed to pray from underneath it. We are designed to pray from over the top. I remember Jessica was talking to this lady who said, you know, Bilgola means swirling seas. And we moved to Bilgola. And thank God we moved to the plateau because we're above the swirling seas. And I feel like our place is like a watchtower. I wake up in the morning, I pray, and I can see Sydney. I can see all this thing. And I feel like I'm praying over it physically. But can I be honest with you? I'm waiting for permission. Yeah, I'm joking. I was going to tell you anyway. I wake up most mornings underneath something. Not everything. Some days it's more than one thing. But not. There's not really a day where I don't wake up and feel underneath a situation. Because there's a lot going on. It's a lot of situations. It's a lot of situations. So it's not really a day that I wake up feeling, oh, just woke up. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. It's not how I generally wake up feeling. Generally wake up feeling like, oh God, thank you Jesus for this great calling on my life. Because there's situations. But here's what Scripture teaches in how to pray when you feel underneath. You don't pray from underneath. You've got to get to a place where you're above. Praise gets you above. How do we do this? What I do is I wake up in the morning, I start to think and meditate about who God is. So I wake up, I have a coffee, praise God for that. And I get to that place where I'm going to pray. And I don't start with my needs. I start with who God is. And I remember God is our creator. He's my heavenly Father. God is with us. He's Emmanuel. I remember that He's our Savior. I remember that He's all powerful. I remember that He is perfect, which means incapable of evil. I remember that He is healer, redeemer. I remember that He has all authority in heaven and on earth. I remember that He is kind and He is faithful. I remember that He is agape love. And I remember who He is. And then I remember what He has done, that He saved me from eternal separation from God, that hell is not my future. Eternity with Jesus is my future. I remember what He's done. I remember that He filled me with the Holy Spirit. He hasn't left me as an orphan child, but He's filled me with the Spirit of God that cries, Abba, Father. I remember that He has forgiven me of all my sin. I remember all the miracles that I've seen him do in the past. And I read about all the miracles that he did in Scripture. And then I start to thank him for what he is currently doing. I thank him that he's growing me. I thank him that he's moving in other people's lives. I thank him for the way that he's positioning and strengthening our church for a bright, bright future. I thank him that there are incredible people around us, all these beautiful people, all of you, so many great friends and team and everybody. I thank God that he's building his church. I thank God that he's setting people free. He's healing people of sickness. He's bringing people to a revelation of Jesus. And you know what? Suddenly, after just a bit of time, thinking about who God is, thanking him for what he's done, and thanking him for what he's doing, I suddenly feel like the head and not the tail. I suddenly feel above and not beneath. David, in Psalm 103, 1-5, he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I can imagine David started underneath and then he started to sing Psalm 103 and he started to pen to paper, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he might have started on his knees, but he finished standing in praise, ready to pray and to go to work. David was ready. Because he discovered praise. The key to your prayer life is praise. Every problem that you think is so big, you know what? When you praise, you realize it's actually pretty small. And God is really big. God is really big. That thing is not as big as you think. God is bigger. And praise elevates us. Praise brings us to higher ground. The way to win the war is by taking the higher ground. You don't win the war down on the ground. You win the war on the higher ground. Colossians 3, 1-3. It says, "If you then have been raised with Christ," oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today, "seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God."
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.